विररामशङ्करम् पद्मङ्गनाथम् इव वद्वय प्रचिन्तयन् सुहृद्दिदृक्षुः परिशङ्किता भवान् निष्कामति निर्विशति द्विधा सता रामशङ्करम् पद्म्यङ्गनाथमुभयत्र चिन्तयन् विद्रुः सुकृतभवान् निष्कामति निर्विशति
Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya said.
Maitreya said.
Etava. So much.
So much.
Ukva.
Ukva.
After speaking.
After speaking.
Viva Rama.
Viva Rama.
Was silent. Shankara.
Shankara.
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva.
Patni Anganasam.
Patni Anganasam.
Destruction of the body of his wife.
Destruction of the body of his wife.
He.
Since
Ubayatra.
Ubayatra.
In both cases.
In both cases.
Chintaya.
Chintaya.
Understanding.
Understanding.
Suhridrikshu.
Suhridrikshu.
Anxious to see relatives.
Anxious to see relatives.
Parishankita.
Parishankita.
Being afraid.
Being afraid.
Bhavan. Of Shiva.
Of Shiva.
Nishkramati.
Nishkramati.
Moving out.
Without.
Nirvishati.
Nirvishati.
Moving in.
Moving in.
Vida.
Vida.
Divided.
Divided.
Asa.
Asa.
Was.
Was.
Sa.
Sa.
She.
She.
Translation says, Maitreya said, Lord Shiva was silent after speaking to Sati, seeing her between decisions. Sati was very much anxious to see her relatives at her father's house, but at the same time she was afraid of Lord Shiva's warning. Her mind unsettled, she moved in and out of the room as the wind moves this way and that. Therefore, Sati's mind was divided about whether to go to her father's house or obey the orders of Lord Shiva. The struggle between the two decisions was so strong that she was pushed from one side of the room to the other and she began to move just like a pendulum of a clock. Next two. Sati felt very sorry at being forbidden to go see her relatives at her father's house, and due to affection for them, tears fell from her eyes. Shaking and very much afflicted, she looked at her uncommon husband, Lord Shiva, as if she were going to blast him with her vision. Purport, the word aprati purusham, used in this verse, means one who has no equal. Lord Shiva has no equal in the material world in regard to equality towards everyone. His wife Sati knew that her husband was equal towards everyone, so why, in this case, was he so unkind to his wife that he did not allow her to go to her father's house? This distressed her more than she could tolerate, and she looked at her husband as if she were ready to blast him with her vision. In other words, since Lord Shiva is Atma, it is indicated here that Sati was prepared to commit suicide. Another meaning of the word Aprati Purusha is the personality who has no rival. So Lord Shiva could not be persuaded to give her permission. She took shelter of a woman's last weapon, weeping, which forced a husband to agree to the proposal of his wife. Text 3. Thereafter, Sati left her husband, Lord Shiva, who had given her half his body due to affection. Breathing very heavily because of anger and bereavement, she went to the house of her father. This less intelligent act was due to her being a weak woman. Therefore, according to the Vedic conception of family life, the husband gives half his body to his wife, and the wife gives half her body to her husband. In other words, a husband without a wife or a wife without a husband is incomplete. Vedic marital relationship existed between Lord Shiva and Sati, but sometimes due to weakness, a woman becomes very much attached by the members of her father's house, and this happened to Sati. In this verse, it specifically mentions she wanted to leave such a great husband as Shiva because of her womanly weakness. In other words, womanly weakness exists even in the relationship between husband and wife. Generally, separation between husband and wife is due to womanly behavior. Divorce takes place due to womanly weakness. The best course for a woman is to abide by the orders of her husband. That makes family life very peaceful. Sometimes there may be misunderstandings between husband and wife, as found even in such an elevated family relationship as that of Sati and Lord Shiva. But a wife should not leave her husband's protection because of such a misunderstanding. If she does so, it is understood to be due to her womanly weakness. Text 4, when they saw Sati leaving alone very rapidly, thousands of Lord Shiva's disciples headed by Maniman and Mada quickly followed with this bull Nandi in front and accompanied by the Yakshas. Wherefore, Sati was going very fast so she might not be checked by her husband, but she was immediately followed by many thousands of disciples of Lord Shiva headed by the Yakshas, Maniman and Mada. The word Gatavyata used in this connection means without fear. Sati did not care that she was going alone, therefore she was almost fearless. The word Anuchara is also significant, for it indicates that Lord Shiva's disciples were always ready to sacrifice anything for Lord Shiva. All that could understand the desire of Shiva, who did not want Sati to go alone. Anuchara means those who can immediately understand the purpose of their master. The disciples of Lord Shiva arranged for Sati to be seated on the back of a bull and gave her the bird, which was her pet. They bore a lotus flower on the earth, also paraphernalia for her enjoyment, and covered it with a great canopy. Followed by a singing party with drums, cockatrice, and bugles, the entire procession was as pompous as a royal parade. She then reached her father's house, where the sacrifice was being performed, and entered the arena, where everyone was chanting the Vedic hymns. The great sages, brahmanas, and demigods were all assembled there. And there were many sacrificial animals, as well as pots made of clay, stone, gold, grass, and skin, which were all requisite for the sacrifice. When learned sages and brahmanas assembled to chant Vedic mantras, some of them were also engaged in arguing about the conclusion of the scriptures. Thus some of the sages and brahmanas were arguing and some were chanting the Vedic mantras, so the entire atmosphere was surcharged with transcendental sound vibration. This transcendental sound vibration has been simplified in the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this age, no one is expected to be highly educated in the Vedic ways of understanding because people are very slow, lazy, and unfortunate. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the sound vibration, Hare Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam has also recommended Yajyai Sankirtana Prayaya Jantavi Sumedasaha. At the present moment, it is impossible to gather sacrificial necessities because of the poverty of the population, their lack of knowledge of Vedic mantras. Therefore, for this age, it is recommended that people gather together and chant the Hare Krishna mantra to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is accompanied by his associates. Indirectly, this indicates Lord Chaitanya, who was accompanied by his associates, Nityananda, Advaita, and others. That is the process of performing yajna in this age. Another significant point in this verse is that there were animals for sacrifice. That these animals were meant for sacrifice does not mean that they were meant to be killed. The great sages and realized souls of simple performing yajnas, the realization was tested by animal sacrifice, just as in modern science, tests are made on animals to determine the effectiveness of a particular medicine. The brahmanas entrusted with the performance of yajna were very realized souls that test their realization. Old animal was offered in the fire and rejuvenated. That is a test of a Vedic mantra. The animals gathered were not meant to be killed and eaten. The real purpose of the sacrifice was not to replace a slaughterhouse, but to test the Vedic mantra by giving an animal new life. Animals are used to test the power of Vedic mantras, not for meat. Text 7, when Sati with the followers reached the arena, because of all the people assembled were afraid of Daksha, none of them received her well. No one welcomed her but her mother and sisters, who, with tears in their eyes and with glad faces, welcomed her and talked with her very pleasingly. Wherefore, the mother and sisters of Sati could not follow the others who did not receive Sati very well. Due to natural affection, they immediately embraced her with tears in their eyes and with loving feelings. This shows that women as a class are very soft-hearted. Their natural affection and love cannot be checked by artificial means. Although the men present were very learned brahmanas and demigods, they were afraid of their superior daksha, because they knew that their welcoming Sati would displease him. Although in their minds they wanted to receive her, they could not do so. Women are naturally soft-hearted, but men are sometimes very hard-hearted. Although she was received by her sisters and mother, she did not reply to their words of reception, and although she was offered a seat and presence, she did not accept anything. for her father neither talked with her nor welcomed her by asking about her welfare. Wherefore, Sati did not accept the greetings offered by her sisters and mother, for she did not at all satisfied by her father's silence. Sati was the youngest child of Daksha, and she knew that she was his pet. But now, because of her association with Lord Shiva, Daksha forgot all his affection for his daughter, and this very much aggrieved her. The material bodily conception is so polluted that, even upon slight provocation, all our relationships of love and affection are nullified. Bodily relationships are so transient that even though one is affectionate towards someone in a bodily relationship, a slight provocation terminates this intimacy. Present in the arena of sacrifice, Sati saw there was no oblations for her husband, Lord Shiva. And she realized that not only had her father failed to invite Lord Shiva, but when she saw Lord Shiva's exalted wife, Daksha did not receive her either. Thus she became greatly angry, so much so that she looked at her father as if she were going to burn him with her eyes. Therefore, by offering oblations in the fire while chanting the Vedic mantra Swaha, one offers respect to all the demigods, great sages, and pitas, including Lord Brahma, Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. It is customary that Shiva is one of those who are offered respects, but Sati, while personally present in the arena, saw that the Brahmas did not utter the mantra offering oblations to Lord Shiva. Namo Shivaya Swaha. She was not sorry for herself, but she was ready to come to her father's house without being invited, but she wanted to see whether or not her husband was being respected. To see her relatives, her sisters, and mother was not so important. Even when she was received by her mothers and sisters, she did not care, for she was most concerned that her husband was being insulted by in the sacrifice. When she marked the insult, she became greatly angry. And she looked at her father so angrily that Daksha appeared to burn in her vision. The sage Maitreya said Lord Shiva was silent after speaking to Sati, seeing her between decisions. Sati was very much anxious to see her relatives at her father's house, but at the same time, she was afraid of Lord Shiva's warning. Her mind unsettled, she moved in and out of the room, and the swing moved this way and that. So, we see the after the discussion of Shiva and Parvati, or Sati, Sati still was not convinced by Lord Shiva, and for a moment she was indecisive, and then finally she didn't obey him and she left. And then she arrived at the sacrifice, and she was not received by her father. Moreover, there were no oblations for Lord Shiva, and therefore she became angry. This, of course, was also predicted by Lord Shiva, because he already told her, don't go. It will simply create a problem because of Daksha's pride. So, in one sense, this is not surprising that Sati was disrespected and Lord Shiva was disrespected. The only thing was that she saw it with her own eyes. And then she became angry. And this, of course, is according to the prediction of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, it will not create anything beneficial for you. And true enough, all she did was become angry because of the disrespect shown by her father to herself and to Shiva. This, of course, is all rather mundane in one sense, getting respected or disrespected. Daksha was felt disrespected by Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva did not offer him respects and stand up when he came. And now we find that Sati is angry because Shiva was not respected and she was not respected. So these are problems that arise frequently in the material world, respect and disrespect. And we will see in Bhagavad Gita and describing the pragya, one who is situated in knowledge, that he is not moved by respect or disrespect. He is situated very calmly, and if someone respects him, he does not rejoice. And if someone disrespects him, he is not sad. So, honor and dishonor in the material world are not actually something which are, these are not things which are praised from the spiritual point of view. On the other hand, we will see that Krishna also argues with Arjuna about disrespect. If you don't fight, you will be disrespected. And dishonor is worse than death for a Kshatriya. So he uses that argument to make Arjuna fight. From this we can understand that some of these arguments that Krishna gives are also material arguments. These are all part of normal material world, so, and the conduct of the material world. But higher than karma is jnana, and in jnana one comes with the position of being indifferent to respect and disrespect. So that is a higher principle. In terms of bhakti, of course, that includes everything in jnana, and one should also be undisturbed by respect and disrespect for oneself. On the other hand, the devotee is not able to tolerate when someone disrespects another devotee or the Supreme Lord. So this is a different type of agitation because of attachment. One could not tolerate the disrespect shown to Krishna. Right? So when Shishupala insults Krishna, then the Pandavas become very angry. They cannot tolerate that someone is criticizing Krishna. So similarly, all the devotees cannot tolerate when a demon criticizes the Supreme Lord. So there's nothing wrong with that. And of course we see that ultimately the Supreme Lord himself killed Shishupala, and that stopped his criticism. So in relation to the Supreme Lord, the devotee should always feel respect and should be disturbed when the Lord is disrespected. And similarly for the devotees of the Lord. If the devotees are disrespected by some of them, the devotees also feel disturbed by that. But as far as their own respect or disrespect, they are not in any way affected by this. They are not attached to respect or disrespect in the material world. And to be subject to such things leads to lamentation and rejoicing in the material world, and then thus we become affected by the gunas. So one has to rise above that. So that is one lesson we can learn from this, that one, for oneself, one should be unaffected by the respect or disrespect, whatever. And this is a cause of the problems. We will see also in the case of Jai and Vijay. They became angry. Why? Because the Kumaras disrespected them. They ignored them and they wanted to go into Vaikuntha without even giving them any respect. So the doorkeepers became very angry. So we see a similar display there. In that case, it would seem that the gatekeepers are very proud, and they wanted respect. But we know that the servants of the Supreme Lord are also pure. So how is it possible they became angry? They became so angry their eyes got red. So they became completely overcome with anger. So this is unexpected. So the answer is no, they cannot be overcome with anger in this way, particularly because the persons that we get angry were also incarnations of the Supreme Lord, the Kumaras, Shaktivesh avatars. So how is it possible they couldn't recognize them and become angry because they were insulted by them? So in this case, we have to understand it is an arrangement of the Lord. In order that Jaya and Vijaya come into the material world, and then the Lord would fight with them. So this is not an ordinary case of wanting honor and becoming angry when it is not given. So in the case of exalted souls, we should not criticize and consider them faulty because of apparent misconduct in this manner. So here also we find that especially Lord Shiva, he was not affected at all by any of this. He did not care if he was disrespected by Daksha. But then we see his wife was affected by the disrespect to Shiva and disrespect to herself. And Prabhupada says in this regard, she was a weak woman, and therefore she became emotional and she became angry, etc. So, in any case, we also know that Shiva is also Supreme Lord, and his consort also must be similarly elevated. So we cannot criticize her also. She is also at a very exalted level, and not subject to faults of the people in the material world. And we see also the case of Brahma. Brahma also felt proud and thought he would try to fool Krishna. And Indra also became proud and thought, I will fight with Krishna and get back the Parijat flower or whatever. Or I will put rain on Raja and Vrindavan, and this way cause affliction for all the people because they don't give me any sacrifices. So apparently even Indra is affected. In the case of Indra, he may or may not be on an exalted level. Certainly he is higher than human beings because he's a devata, servant of the Lord. Still, devatas can be subjected also to maya. They're not there ultimately on the highest level, so they can be affected by maya in some cases. Or, of course, also arrangement of the Supreme Lord is there also, and he may purposely do this for his pastimes. However, for lower persons in the material world, persons who are not on the level of devatas or in the material world, this type of behavior is quite common, and it has to be avoided. So we understand from many sources that pride and then the anger resulting from disrespect due to that pride are problems, and therefore everyone is warned to avoid such bad qualities. The problem is how to avoid these qualities. The qualities seem natural, and to suppress them is very difficult. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that this anger arises from kama. And kama is situated in the mind, in the senses, in the intelligence, in the body. So it is very difficult to get rid of kama, because it has occupied these different places. Just as in a war, the enemy comes in and it defeats one place, and another city, and another city, another city, and grabs everything. Then it occupies the country. So kama is like that. It occupies the body and the senses and the mind and jumps and sits there. So kama gets in control. What to do? That kama will easily turn into anger. So that kama is the basis of all these other problems that we have. Desire for respect, etc. Desire for possessions, desire for position, desire for respect. And consequently, when we don't get them, then we get the anger. And as a consequence of lust and anger, then we do all sorts of actions which create karma for us, and therefore we suffer. So it is very difficult to get rid of anger and lust in the material world. Very, very difficult. Of course, there are different processes for doing this. One is the process of stopping the senses. And then stopping the mind. So this is practice in dhyana and yoga. We gradually withdraw from the material world. We minimize activities. We minimize sense activities. Stop talking, stop eating, etc. Concentrate within. So this is one process of getting rid of these problems, anarthas. However, it is difficult for most people to do that. So the other process is to destroy these things by a greater force. Just as kama has occupied the positions of in the senses, in the mind, intelligence, etc., in the body by its power. So, what is more powerful than that? Of course, we can just stop all the activities of everything, and that way kama no longer functions. So that is the process in dhyana and yoga. Stop everything from working, and then what can kama do? But it's difficult. So the other process is to introduce something which will counteract the kama. Just as if you have poison in the body, you take another substance which counteracts that and neutralizes it. So what we can do to neutralize that kama, or the effects of it. So, the only thing that can do that is bhakti. By offering love, unconditional love to the Supreme Lord, we can counteract the kama. By offering love to the Supreme Lord, we cannot have desires for ourselves, which is kama. So if we offer to the Supreme Lord, that forbids enjoyment for the self. So the more we do bhakti, the less we have kama. So this is the process of bhakti. Simply perform bhakti, and in that process, the kama and consequent anger are destroyed. So that is the effective process of conquering over this problem in the material world. So though we want to reach that position of no anger, no pride, etc., the way we do that is not by suppression, but by engagement in bhakti. The only problem will come if in the process of bhakti we desire honor and respect, etc., which means our devotion is mixed. We're expecting that, then the problem again, and those things are not destroyed. So therefore, in the process of bhakti, we have to make sure that it's executed purely. And then we can destroy all of these different weeds, etc.
Yep.
Satisfaction for senses, it is consequence of karma.
But for set aside the law, what sense is that's contained?
Yeah.
How one is not satisfied with his own senses, and how he can satisfy the Lord's senses? Mm-hmm. Suppose I have not touched my senses, so how is it possible to satisfy the Lord's senses?
Well, if one does not have faith in the Lord, then one will never give up satisfying one's own senses. It's difficult to stop that desire for enjoyment unless one has faith in the Lord. So faith in the Lord means actually that we understand that the Lord is more important than us. If we don't understand that, then we don't really have faith in the Lord, and we will continue to enjoy in the material world. If we understand the Lord is more important, we will not be interested in our own enjoyment. If we think the Lord is more important, then we'll try to please Him. And if we try to please Him, and then we don't, to the extent we do that, we don't go for enjoyment for ourselves. If that increases and increases, then eventually we have no desire for ourselves, and it's all for Krishna, and it's called prema.
Generally, the demons are there, this class of men. When they criticize and disrespect the Supreme Lord, in what way the Supreme Lord will reciprocate with such a person?
The demons?
Or the atheists, when they disrespect the Supreme Lord, in what way the Supreme Lord reciprocate with such persons?
Oh, well, of course, we know that when the demons do bad activities, particularly if they disrespect the devotees, then the Lord usually kills them all. The Lord is not so concerned about disrespect for Himself. Whether He gets their respect or disrespect, He doesn't really care for that. If He's interfering with the Dharma and the devotees, then He will usually act. And therefore the Lord says, come and come again in the material world, and I destroy the demons and I protect the devotees. So He will do that in different ways, according to His different avatar forms. If the person is an enemy of the Lord, he does not hate that person. If a person disrespects the Lord doesn't hate him. He's not disturbed by anything. So he's merciful even to the demons. So if he kills them, he does not throw them in hell. He elevates them. Sometimes they go to Svargaloka, or sometimes they go here and there, and sometimes they get liberation, sometimes they get Sarupya. That is the Lord's mercy. It also solves the problem. And then they don't harass anybody anymore.
Bhagavad says the Lord doesn't bother much for the disrespect. Then how do you call it seva aparadh?
Seva aparadh.
Seva aparadh. That means
disrespecting of the Lord.
Something will happen to the devotees, they do seva aparadh.
Yeah. Well, on the part of devotees, not demons I'm talking about devotees now, that's a little different. So devotees, because they are devotees and are trying to practice a favorable attitude towards the Lord, then they should not indulge in disrespect of the Lord. That's obvious. So therefore we have seva aparadh. So those aparadhs in the seva are disrespect for the deity form. So we should not purposely engage in those.
Disobeying somebody's orders to do service, we get angry. So how we avoid it, how we take it up?
Should we become angry?
We become angry when somebody is not obeying to do the service.
Well, again, why show anger? Will it have any effect? Is there any purpose in the anger? In other words, you become angry, that's not going to help the other person. He's not going to make him do the work also. If we want to convince the person, we'll have to find another means. Of course, it may cause a problem, Therefore, we have to either convince that person or have somebody else do the work, one or the other. But anger will serve no purpose as such, other than frustrate ourselves, that's all. Cause disturbance for ourselves.
करंतरा श्री श्री श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। हिस होलीनेस बाल महाराज की।